What's going on, everybody? I'm Michael Keefe. He is Fred Greatham, and you are inside the Browns beat right here on the OBR streaming network. Get over to the OBR.com. Make sure you hit subscribe as you want to be a part of all the biggest things going on with the Cleveland Browns. Like, I don't know, maybe some things that have happened this week and things that may still be yet to come. And so wild offseason gets way wilder this week, and we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about some practices that we've seen out there, some of the stuff we saw and heard from Andrew Berry and Todd Monken, and obviously the big trade of the week, which I'm going to struggle to even get through talking about it, but we're going to talk about it, and it's all happening here inside the Browns beat. Fred, are you tired? Are you tired, Fred?
Yeah, you know, I sound like the get off my lawn guy, the old... But it's like now it's June, but it's like May football and June, and they're putting us through the meat grinder this week. I mean, Monday's the golf outing, which really turns into an all-day event, you know, to talk to the players and the coach. And right in the middle of it, word comes out the trade of Myles Garrett, which torpedoed that whole
everything.
And then it turned into Andrew Berry felt he needed to talk Tuesday morning. We knew we were coming out Wednesday. Kind of wish they would have just done it this morning all at the same time. But, yeah, so then we had Jared Verse in town, so we had him on the field, and then we talked to him after the field. We talked to Carson Schlesinger, Alex Wright, Todd Monken. Got some news I'm going to share with you tonight if you haven't heard, you know, some of the happenings today. But, yeah, a lot happening, you know, and – next week is the mandatory mini camp. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That a lot of the question was Miles going to show up for that. And now I can guarantee you he's not going to, but yeah, a lot's going on, and it's kind of should go get a little dark or a little quiet after next Thursday. That's kind of when you just don't want to see anybody's name in the news because it's usually not good.
Yeah, exactly. And after this week, and who knows what news you're about to drop, I'm excited for this. But after this week and after mandatory camp next week, I think we're all going to need a little break. We're all going to need a little break from stuff going on with the Cleveland Browns. Hey, just really quickly before we dive into pretty much everything, be like our buddy chat_username. You saw him. He's over on Twitch. But you're probably watching us Twitch, YouTube, X, Facebook, wherever you're watching us. You can be a part of the show if you've got questions, if you've got things you want to go over, get it in the comments, and we will do our best to address kind of any topics you guys want to talk about. Obviously, we know the big ones coming up, so we will get into those. But anything else you want to talk about, we certainly can do that as well. So, Fred, you know, let's start with the big news of the week, and let's start with the two-time Defensive Player of the Year, the certain first ballot Hall of Famer, the single-season sack king, and one of the all-time greatest defensive players, if not, I know some people might think it's sacrilegious, but if not the all-time greatest defensive player to ever wear the orange and brown, Myles Garrett, after a hell of a career, 9 seasons in Cleveland, and after a tumultuous end where he asked for a trade last year, got a big contract instead, certainly felt like there were moments where he still wasn't all that thrilled with the way things are going, and God, how do you blame him? Myles Garrett is shipped off to the LA Rams, and it feels like I want to talk about it in one of two ways. So let's start with this. Way number one, Fred, it feels like the end of an era, right? When anytime a player of this magnitude, of this caliber, is no longer playing on your team, it just feels like there's a definitive ending point to a certain era, right?
Yep. You know, on the Channel 19 Off the Leash that we do, the OBR, you know, does with them, I talked about it yesterday, growing up in Cleveland, being a big Indians fan. It just seemed like my whole life as a little kid was you'd become attached to a Greg Nettles, a Chris Chambliss, a CeCe Sabathia, just to see him traded to the Yankees. Yeah. And, you know, and the Browns, since the team came back, they haven't had that type of, you know, they had Joe Thomas.
Right.
Well, then Myles Garrett was the, you know, the draft pick that you had the first pick and you legitimately hit on it you know, big time. And you just feel like, I mean, my first reaction is, are the Browns better off today than they were before that trade? And I wrote a story today. They're not. Okay. And it's always that hope springs eternal. You know, how many times even the current Guardians will trade a Shane Bieber or a Corey Kluber for about five guys you never heard of. They usually come back and they're pretty good players, but it just seems like you're always moving on from the rock, the guy, you know, and I get the timing, but it just seems like, you know, now I saw Jared Verse today, talk to him, very impressive young man. Looks like he's really going to, you know, and I know he's a good player. It's just, I doubt if you were the Rams today and they had Garrett and you had Verse, that you called him and said, hey, we'd like to trade you, you know, Jared Verse for Miles Garrett. I don't think it would have happened. And it just seems like sometimes the Browns, you feel like get picked on to some degree. You know, I didn't feel like they got enough, you know, in this trade, especially when you saw some of the other deals. You see Max Crosby, who's nowhere near Miles Garrett, in my opinion. You know, they had agreed to like two first-round picks. And now the argument would be Jared Verse is a first-round pick, and you already know what you're getting. And then another one. But I guess my question to Andrew Berry yesterday, somebody asked the question I was going to put the second one. But the first one was, why were we in such a hurry to get it done June 1st? I mean, the first day you could really make it, and you had, even to his wording, you really didn't have anybody else in the bidding war. Don't you think that if you opened it up, you might get even if the Rams had Verse, that you might have got them to up the ante a little bit if they were that much in on this deal? Because that explanation, well, the Rams kept calling. All right, well, I think the Browns should just start calling the Chiefs today and call, hey, we'd like Patrick Mahomes. Oh, okay. Next week, hey.
We've got one Jared Verse that you can have.
You know, it was like, well, what does that have to do with it? But, you know, he said we had no intention to trade him, and I believe that. But you know, I know, and certainly Jack Duffin knows, that when they changed that language in the contract, that told everybody in the NFL, there's a chance, guys. And the crack slipped in. And I get it if it's an overwhelming. But it just seems, Mike, that maybe I don't see it the same way, obviously, yet. It wasn't as overwhelming as I am seeing on the surface. But if you listen to the press conference yesterday with Andrew Berry, I felt subliminally he was saying between every answer, are you guys crazy? Do you know how we fleeced the Rams? We got Jared Verse. You have no idea how good he is. That's what I kept thinking he was saying. You know, like these people are just stupid out here, you know, and trying to convince. Now that could be the, you know, the bottom line, but I don't see him as great as he is. He's not as good as Miles Garrett. That's the bottom line.
Well, nobody is. Very few people ever have been.
But how did your team get better today?
Here's what I'll say about some of the stuff you said there. I do not believe that this was just a one-way conversation between the Rams and the Browns, and there was nobody else involved in this. I think this negative connotation, like he's a liar, gets thrown around there when it's like, well, of course Andrew Berry said that. But I think Andrew Berry is extremely cognizant of wanting to make sure that he treats his media relations stuff and the way he talks in public in such a way that he wants to make sure every team he ever calls knows that he's going to treat that conversation with respect, and like they can deal with Andrew Berry and things aren't going to get out into the media and stuff like that. So there's, I think there is a 0% chance that the LA Rams were the only ones that called. I think that's just a convenient thing to kind of come out and say, well, they just kept making the deal and that's it. I also, having said that, think they probably hung up on a lot of teams. To me, this feels like, and we're going to get to Jared Verse in a minute. I don't want to make this about Jared Verse right now, but Fred, it feels like they probably keyed on. They probably keyed on to a couple of guys in the league that would need to be part of a trade package for Myles Garrett. Defensive line. Again, nobody's going to trade a quarterback for a defensive end. As great as Myles Garrett is, nobody's trading their quarterback for him. But I think they keyed onto some guys that could come in and step in and be really good players. Again, we're going to talk about how Jared Verse is in a really tough spot. But it seems very clear to me, Fred, that Verse, what's his face out of Philly, that Philly said no. Even though they're saying, oh, they didn't talk to Philly. Sure, you can believe that if you want to. I'm sure they went and had a couple of guys that they really keyed in on. And Verse was one of those guys. And when they had the chance to pull the trigger on the deal, and it comes with a first-round pick and more picks after that, I feel like they felt comfortable with it. I don't think Andrew Berry is a dishonest person. I think sometimes it gets thrown around because people want to believe that there's general managers out there and coaches out there that are just going to tell you everything they're doing, and none of them do, and we have to battle this year in and year out. I don't think he's dishonest. I think he just tries to talk about things as minimally as possible in public, but I think there were more teams, and I think this was the deal they liked the most. I just can't buy. Yeah, we just talked to one team, and that was it. I don't buy.
Well, he kept coming back to Verse. And I do think, I don't know if there was anybody else that they would, he wanted, one of his criteria, they had to be an up-and-coming, ascending player. And, you know, you can't say he's not. I mean, defensive rookie of the year and two-time Pro Bowler. He made a big deal out of original Pro Bowl. And I think what that is, you know, seven guys can't make it, so... You know, we know Tyler Snoop Huntley is a Pro Bowler. We know Shador is a Pro Bowler. Right. But he was legitimately voted in there. But no, I don't think he's lying. I think he is generally a very good-hearted individual. I would have a tough time being a general manager, you know, just in dealing with people and not, you know, being honest, you know.
This guy sucks.
Well, you know, this isn't at all the same, but I'll give you a case in point. Odell Beckham Jr. torpedoed that season with the Browns, him and his dad, when they, you know, with the quarterback and Mayfield stinks and all that. And Andrew Berry went out of his way to do him right. He let him out of the contract and let him be a free agent, pick his own team. He picks the Super Bowl champion Rams, and he gets his own way all the way around. That's right. Not what Miles did, but he kind of did it. And I feel like Andrew really did him right. I mean, he's going to LA. He's going to a Super Bowl potential champion, and he got his bag of money, you know. As I wrote in the story today, just because he got paid last year, that's like putting lipstick on a pig. He wasn't happy with the performance of the Browns. Now he's got the money. That don't matter. Check that box. It's in my bank account. Now I want to win a Super Bowl. And he was going to be, in my opinion, squawking if this was another 3-14 team. Or 4-12 or 13 or whatever. And
rightfully so. I want to rightfully so.
And so
they did that again.
There was this undercurrent. Now I have no information on this, but I can see even some information with the contract change. Like, hey, could you change that? You know, and maybe in case things go awry and you get an opportunity to make a trade or something like that. That we're not locked in here just to appease the agent or Miles. I don't know. It just seems like, as Jack Duffin is, you know, he's almost like too good at this. You know, He said there's no reason other than to trade him. We're all going, yeah, down the road. No, they'll do it this year. They do it the day they can, you know, June 1st.
And I know I'm already getting in. And Chef, and you know, Chef Brian K knows that I love him and I appreciate his support all the time. But he says, no, Mike, he's dishonest. When he says they didn't, they're not going to do something that they did, it's called dishonest. Or I think he's maybe referring to on the golf course saying it's not finalized yet. Listen, a lot of this came out saying, oh, Andrew Berry called him a one helmet player and Cleveland to Canton and all that. Think of the alternative. Like, I think people just don't think of the alternative. Imagine if Andrew Berry came out at the beginning of the offseason and said, yeah, we're probably going to be listening to offers for Myles Garrett and seeing if we can move him. Imagine that. Yeah. And then imagine on the back end that they don't get a good offer or they don't get one that they feel like is worthwhile of Myles Garrett and they don't trade him. And then imagine the stuff they have to deal with on the back end of that. Again, there is honesty in the form of like just being like an honest, good person. And then there's what you have to say publicly when you are the head of a football team. And you can't come out and just be like, yeah, we're trading Miles if we can. Like, it would have been, well, he probably would have gotten fired. Probably. That's how that
was. Case in point is my question yesterday. I don't know if you or any of the – I asked him the question about the quarterback. I said, do you see this as any – with Miles being your biggest trade chip, the best player in the team, any thought of maybe delaying this a little bit and seeing how things are shaping up so you can put yourself in position to get a quarterback if that's what you're going to do? And he, oh, no, we're not even thinking about 2027. Well, I get that. He can't say, no, these guys that we have on the team aren't very good, so we're going to go get another quarterback before you even have the season.
Yeah, but, right, sure.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in that room knew that first-round pick has got to be in the back of their mind somehow, some way to help them acquire a quarterback, because you're certainly not going to where the Rams are picking unless Matthew Stafford breaks his leg in the opener and they go 2-15. And you don't wish that to happen.
Nope, we don't wish for injuries. But,
or the Browns take actions on themselves and go 2-15. They're not going to say that, but without Myles Garrett, I don't see how you're a better team than you were last year. So I don't know at all where you're going to go with it. But it just is, you know, all the way around, you just feel like there's different ways they could have went with this thing. You think about this. I hate the shoulda, woulda, coulda things, but you had to feel as a Browns fan pretty upset the way he was trashing the Browns on at the Super Bowl. They're not going to playoffs. They're going he was doing everything he could publicly to embarrass the organization to trade him. Andrew Berry dug in and said, we're not trading him, but I would have traded him then.
And then he comes out and sets the sack record.
Well, so. Yes. Okay. But let's just look back. I can think of three games that he single-handedly helped you win last year. That Packers game, he blocked the field goal, I believe. He had the Steelers and the Bengals the last two games. He helped take those games away. You got Francisco Mendoza, and it would have been because you traded Myles Garrett.
Again, ifs and buts. And Francisco Mendoza, I'm just saying, Fernando
if
Mendoza.
You're really trying to get in position to get a quarterback. Now, whether Mendoza or not, but you know what I'm saying is that unless you have the first pick in the draft, you have no control on getting the best quarterback in the draft. And I don't care if you got three first rounds for Miles, they're all going to be in the 30s, and nobody's going to trade to get you up to number one. They were at number two and they couldn't get to one 2 years ago.
But okay. So, That brings up like the next, I feel like the end of an era, but the turn of a page at the same time, because I think people immediately, and listen, again, we're going to talk in a minute about the position that Jared Verse is now put in, mm-hmm. because it's one that I do not envy. But as far as the turn the page, obviously the era ends, they move on. But I do think their insistence, and maybe people, this is not meant to be an optimistic take. I don't know what the take is, to be honest. I think it's just a flat statement. I think a lot of people immediately ran to, all right, they're tanking. They're trying to lose every game. If that was the case, then they would have traded Myles Garrett for whoever gave them the best picks. And they wouldn't have insisted on a guy like Jared Verse coming back. Because Myles Garrett, taking him off the team, and no offense to Isaiah McGuire, or I think Alex Wright's a pretty darn good player. I think Isaiah McGuire's okay. But no offense to a guy like Isaiah McGuire, the drop from Myles Garrett to Isaiah McGuire is a much significantly steeper drop than the drop from Myles Garrett to Jared Verse, which is still going to be a steep drop. It's still going to be a steep drop. But Jared Verse in this defense, which again, it's going to be a new look defense, but with these other guys on this team and the way they've built it again this offseason, this still looks like a really good defense that's going to help this team win games. And it's not going to be Myles Garrett and his freak of nature thing, but it's going to be a lot of guys contributing. And this to me doesn't, this move doesn't scream, hey, we're just going to be in desperation mode next year to trade everything we have and go up and get our quarterback. It's because that play is probably not going to work anyways. It's just, we got a really good player we think we can build around for the future defensively. We added another first round pick that might just be a player. It might just be a player. It might not be the quarterback. It might just be a player next year. But I don't, this to me does not say, hey, we're going to go out and try to lose as many games as we can.
No, I don't think so either. You know, and you have the owner saying he wouldn't put a number on it, but said 5 wasn't enough wins. They fired Stefanski because of 5 wins. So, you know, he's expecting them to win more than 5. And then you trade Garrett. So all the way around, it's, well, you know, it's not exactly like the NBA or whatever, but it's almost, if you do better, if you win 6, 7, 8 games, you're going to be like the Steelers, right in the middle of the pack, and you're not going to be able to get the quarterback, you know, the best quarterback, if that's what you need to do. Today, Todd Monken said he called, well, he didn't say by name, but he said, we have 2 starting caliber quarterbacks. And I was a little bit, whoa, okay.
Dylan Gabriel was like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
You know, I thought of that, and I don't think he was mentioned because they gave Verse number 8, which Dylan Gabriel was wearing, and he's still wearing, but I don't know for how long, because I believe if you gave Verse number 8, which he had in L.A., that he'll probably keep that. So, anyway, it's just all the way around, you're like, kind of mixed signals. Andrew Berry said all our goals are still in front of us. Okay, you're a little bit worse than you were. Okay, maybe not as big of a drop, but Myles Garrett to Jared Verse, as great as I think he, or as good as I think he can be potential, he's not going to be 25 sacks, you know?
No.
He's only got 12 in 2 years. Yeah. He doesn't seem to be a closer. He seems to be a brute rusher that gets a lot of hurries, but by brute force, he doesn't, you know, have that finesse like Miles does to get to the quarterback and close it. So we'll see how that goes. And sacks aren't everything. The pressures are big and so forth. But I'm just saying that alone, I don't know how much of a drop, but it's still going to come back to the offense, you know, improvement.
That's it. And listen, it is, are they worse off at that one position? Yes. Yes. There isn't a team that would go from Myles Garrett to somebody else and not be worse off. They are worse off at that one position. But did they do enough this offseason to make themselves better at other positions, wide receiver, offensive line, you know, just all over the defense. They added a linebacker. Did they do enough to make themselves a better overall team? Because this could be 2 different conversations. Again, yeah. I'm not sitting here trying to go into optimistic land. I don't know. Because, again, once again, if the quarterback stinks, If you have the worst rated quarterback play again in the league, you're gonna lose a lot of games. And you probably will, at that point, you probably will lose more than you lost last year, because Miles, at least when the whole rest of the team stunk, Miles at least could go out there and win you a game or two. And now that guy isn't here. But if the team overall is better, that's possible. It's not, they didn't get better because they traded Miles. That's not what I'm saying. But are they a better overall roster? We're going to find out. Are they going to have better overall coaching? We all hope so.
I just did a series on five positions or things they need to do to get the team back to winning. And I didn't, for the first time in several years, address edge rusher. And I just felt like they needed depth. When they got out and got AJ Epenesa, I thought that was a great move, because here's a 6-7 sacks a year guy. Well, then he failed the physical, and so they didn't have him. They just had Garrett, McGuire, and Wright. And I thought, wow, they need to get some more. They brought in some undrafted rookies like Spencer Fano's brother Logan, but wow, they're kind of thin. Well, now you took, like you said, Myles Garrett out of the equation. All of a sudden, that's got a, I wouldn't say a five-alarm fire, but as far as the third and fourth edge rushers, you need to go find some 30-something veteran, you know, pretty quickly to get into this mix. And so, you know, it's just, that's the way it is in the NFL. But it just seems like they're lean there. And here's the biggest thing, you know, the pressure's on Rutenberg, taking over for Jim Schwartz, the number one defense the last 3 years. It took a little pressure off, to be honest, because that's a great excuse. I lost the number one defensive player in the NFL. But let's say Todd Monken's a miracle worker, and this offense, which scored 16 points a game, the NFL average is about 22 to 23. Let's just say he gets them up the NFL average, 22, 23. They would have won a half a dozen. They would have probably won four or five, six games last year that they lost because they only scored 15 points. That's going to really look bad if the offense rises that much, but say the defense falls back down and they don't play like they have the last 3 years, and you lose because the defense lets you down, you know? So that's the real possibility. You know, but we don't know how much Myles Garrett made a difference. All we hear is every team said, we use two, three guys every week, and we stayed up all night. And Todd Monken said, I didn't come here because of Jim Schwartz. I came here with Myles Garrett. Well, he's not here now.
Well, and listen, again, certainly not having that caliber of player, one of the all-time greats at getting to the quarterback and at pass rushing, is going to impact them. But again, it's going to be, again, I also think it's that you guys asked Andrew Berry, why now? Why was this the time? Why did you restructure so that you could make this move and all that kind of stuff? Which, again, I'm eating crow on that, because I saw the restructure. I thought it was maybe for next year. If they were bad again this year, they could get him out. But clearly Jack Duffin was right the whole way through. Jack was trying to warn us the minute they did that restructure. He was like, something's going to happen. He was sure as it could be, something was going to happen. And I argued with him, and I was 100% wrong. But again, you go back to what you said, and I think you made a good point in kind of your speech before, Fred, but we've seen what Myles Garrett did last year. And again, people get all worked up about a lot of things. I think Myles overall was a really exemplary guy here in Cleveland. But we saw what he did last year with the trades, or the trade demand. We've heard and seen some disappointment out of him, and some just the way he talks and communicates. And I don't know. I know he's 30. I don't know that I'm buying. He's a freak of nature. I don't know that I'm buying that he's quite hitting the backside yet, because I think he's got some time left to play. But I do think you're in danger. Think of how many rookies they played last year. I think it was the most in the league, wasn't it? The most rookies in the league. And then look what you did this year. You went into the draft and drafted a whole bunch of guys that you're going to anticipate these guys are going to be starters for your football team this year. Bunch of rookies. So now you're going to have a whole team just chock full of first and second year guys. And you're going to have a whole team full of guys that weren't here last year. This new offensive line, all that kind of stuff. And I do think there maybe is a situation where you sit back and go, okay, A, maybe we don't feel like he's on the decline yet, but maybe he's going to be getting there at some point soon. So we got to start thinking about trade value there. But do we want a guy 10 years in who's now all of a sudden out there talking about how miserable it's been for 10 years and how they don't win and how terrible it's been and how he wants out? And what kind of tone is that going to set for the culture of this team with these young guys? And I think, again, I don't know that that is a major conversation in-house, but I certainly think it's a factor in the conversations when you're saying, all right, when should we trade Myles Garrett? And I think that plays into it.
I agree with that. I've been around him. He's a tremendous player. I think he's grown a little bit into the leadership.
Yeah.
But when he first came, and even he's still more of an introverted individual. He's a reluctant leader. He does not want to be a leader. He's more of a on the field, do what I do, not talk. And
I've said a million times, that's okay. People have different personalities. You can be successful. It's fine.
But what I'm saying is he came every Friday was Myles Garrett day in the locker room. And he spent more time bringing up negative things. That's where he would go on. Let it be known. They better start winning. Let it be, especially at the end of the season. And that he wasn't exactly the leader you wanted. You know, leaders just say, well, keep that to yourself. Don't say that to the media, because that's what Friday people rescheduled to go on Fridays just so they could get what he's going to say, especially towards the end of the year,
right,
when they're losing a lot. And, you know, they gave him the big contract. Didn't really change him. He, you know, it isn't like he's the
right
company man. Like, and I don't know if his agent or anybody, it sure seems to me that he still wasn't happy. Don't tell me when he's in town to see the Cavs or even to be at his house, he couldn't have drove over and said hi to Todd Monken, at least in person, shake his hand. You know, he didn't have to be at any practice or anything, but why couldn't you at least, you know, say something? So all the way around, they'll never say it, but I do think they felt, you know, this makes sense. Everything, yeah, I've heard, Jared Verse is only in his like third year, and he's already a very vocal team leader. And, you know, what I saw today on the first day when he talked, he was out there on the field. He just got in last night, and he said a lot of good things, you know, about this team. I don't know what the exact, but he said, this team isn't a losing team or isn't as bad as people think they are. I see a lot of positive going on, and I'm excited to be part of it, you know. And so
you got to say the right things when you first come in.
But
Fred, let's go into this, because let's talk about this return, and let's start with Jared Verse, because it's an unenviable position, and I think he said the right things. He's not here I'm not here to replace anybody. You better have that attitude, because you can't, nobody can replace the guy you are going to be replacing. So that has to be the attitude, and they got to keep that there. But I think Browns fans got to remember that too, because here's this dude, 6'5", what, 265 pounds. The Browns now have back-to-back defensive players, defensive rookies of the year, Jared Verse 2 years ago. Schlesinger last year was the defensive player of the year, defensive rookie of the year. Jeez, oh, Pete, I'm losing my mind. But obviously a lot of promise there. So it's funny a little bit when you consider Jared Verse as a guy that the Browns would not have drafted in the first round as an older. He was 24 years old when he got drafted, an older guy. That gives you a little bit of pause as far as how high his ceiling is going to go. But you talked about a little bit of what you've heard from him, but talk about a little bit more of what you know from the one-time defensive rookie of the year, Pro Bowler, Jared Verse.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he said the right things. He's going to be the best version of Jared Verse, is what he said. And basically, that is enough. I mean, if you have what he's done the last 2 years, and even a little bit of the upside that Todd Monken felt like he's really ascending. And maybe, I know a lot of emphasis on sacks. I think he's got to get more sacks. But if he can even get up in the double digit, you know, get up to 10, 11, it's not Myles Garrett numbers, but, you know, that is a formidable pass rush. And so I think that just being out there, I put a lot of video clips. I stalked him today, and I just put it on the Orange and Brown Report, the OBR.com, or Fred Greetham at 9 on X, and just a deluge of video of him. Obviously, he's not contact, but you can see his burst. And more than anything, that's a big dude. And
yes,
I think he'll be a real fine player for the Browns. And so,
well, things that make me excited. It's not the sacks. The sacks, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Things that make me excited, obviously the win rate when he's rushing. He's a very good pass rusher. Things that make me excited are the ample amount of tackles for loss that he gets both years that he's been in the league. The forced fumbles says that he is impactful when he's hitting guys, as he has been. He's forced a good number of fumbles in his first 2 years. Here's my thing with the sacks, because the minute you bring up, oh, he's only got 12 sacks through two seasons, though. Myles Garrett had the sack record last year. You'll have one group of people that's very quick to be like, well, he doesn't have the sacks. Where's the sacks? And then you'll have another group of people that's very quick to address those people and say, well, sacks aren't even an effective stat to talk about a player, and sacks this and sacks that. And I think both sides are wrong, in my opinion. What I'm excited, interested, and actually a little bit nervous to see out of Jarrett Verse, and this, in my opinion, is what made Myles Garrett, well, one of the thousand things that made Myles Garrett so special. It wasn't just his bend. It wasn't just his burst. It wasn't just his ability to get off the ball and move like a guy like that shouldn't be able to move. It was, you said the word before, Fred, and it's a concern of mine, because when Jarrett Verse squares a guy up and hits him, good tackler. I'm worried. Myles Garrett was one of those guys that if you felt like he got a finger on a quarterback, that quarterback was coming down. Like, he left very little. I called him a hyena. He left like no meat on the bone, did Myles Garrett. He very rarely did you see Myles Garrett square somebody up and miss. It happened every once in a while, but very rarely. And maybe if he didn't even square somebody up, very rarely did you see Myles Garrett get a hand on somebody and not make a tackle. Is Jarrett Verse a guy that finishes, not like Myles Garrett, because nobody does, but half as good? Is Jarrett Verse a guy that is finishing the plays? Is it 90% excellent and 10%, oh my gosh, he took one wrong step and there the quarterback went? Because that's the stuff. I don't think fans should compare Jarrett Verse to Myles Garrett. I know I've had people yelling at me about that online. Well, shouldn't we compare one guy that's replacing another guy? No, not with any level of analytical thinking. You shouldn't, because they're not the same. But Jared's going to get those comparisons, and it's going to be, that to me is very interesting, is he can get there. Can he make the play in the end, though? And I think we've seen a little bit of it his first couple of years, but that's an area I think you want to see some growth. And I do think the sack number tells the tale on that, whether people want to think about that or not. I think it tells the story.
Well, there's so much emphasis on that statistic. That's why everybody goes to that immediately, because, you know, that's the guy who gets the defensive player of the year, right, is exactly the guy who has the most sacks, whether it's TJ Watt or Aaron Donald or whoever. So, yeah, I think he's a good player. I think he's going to fit in great. As I also wrote today, you know, when they say they're trying to win now, you just feel like, okay, adding Jarrett Verse to Myles Garrett is going and playing to win. I know
that's what the Rams were trying to do.
Well, yeah, but you see the Ravens get Trey Hendrickson. You see the Bengals get Dexter Lawrence. The Browns on their defense just swapped out Myles Garrett for Jarrett Verse. They could have done worse, but you see what I'm saying. I don't see an improvement. at least right now. I mean,
certainly,
but
it 100% not an improvement right now. And again, no shade to Jared Verse. I have no bad things to say about Jared Verse. I've got things that I'm concerned about. I've got things that I'm going to be very interested in. No, there's nothing I say about a downgrade for Myles Garrett has any negative impact on Jared Verse. They could have traded Myles Garrett for TJ Watt. It would have been a downgrade. They could have traded Myles Garrett for Micah Parsons. It would have been a downgrade. Anybody was going to be a downgrade. But the position, it is just inevitable that when he is not Myles Garrett, people are going to start getting loud about it. It's inevitable. Yeah. And that to me, I think is outside of the fact that we aren't going to get to watch Myles Garrett play for the Browns anymore. I feel like that's one of the more unfortunate things about this is I hope he comes out and plays great and doesn't give people the chance to do that.
Yeah. It's one of the few bright spots, you know, to watch a game on Sunday. What was the reason down the stretch to see Shador maybe? But was Miles going to get that sack record? So, yeah, it's a turn the page. I've been around a long time. It reminds me when I was a kid, the Browns traded Paul Warfield, Hall of Fame wide receiver, kind of in the prime of his career, for Mike Phipps, you know, who has turned out to be a bust, you know, in the big picture. He played a while, but he wasn't what you were expecting to get, you know, for Paul Warfield. And Warfield helped the Dolphins go undefeated, and then he came back at the very tail end of his career. But, you know, we'll see how it – I mean, Andrew Berry is bold. He made probably the worst trade in NFL history with Deshaun Watson, gave up three first rounds, six overall, and then he trades the best player. I don't know if I would say he's the best player in franchise history, because I still think it's Jim Brown, but he's up there. Best defensive player in Brown's history. So you end up trading him away and derailing the franchise at least for 5 years with the Deshaun Watson trade. So I don't know if he's feeling it because of the last two drafts, that they feel like they've really got it down, but adding these, you know, obviously Verse, but the draft picks, like we can turn those into three other starters, you know, or whatever. We'll see. It's just, it always comes back to quarterback, you know, in my book, until you get that solved. And that's why I pressed Barry a little bit, like, you know, I just feel like somehow that's your chip to get you to a position, maybe your 10th this year, and there's three quarterbacks that you'd be happy with. Well, you could go 10-3 or something with the two first round picks. But if it's a one quarterback show, you're not going to, that pick's not going to help you. You're going to take a Casey Concepcion type guy, which is great.
Well, hey, listen, I know everybody wants to talk about Arch Manning. If he just plays the way he did last year at Texas, you might be able to get him at the end of the first round. Be great. They just get their quarterback. Everybody's talking about him number one overall. I don't know.
I got an opinion on that. I mean, I haven't watched enough, but just because his name's Manning is
what it is.
He's not Peyton's son. He's not Eli's son. He's their nephew. He's their brother. And that doesn't mean they're Hall of Fame. He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback because the name Manning.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, really?
No. I didn't want to get off on that tangent. I didn't want to get there. Okay. Anyways, just the other side of the trade. We talked about Jared Verse a lot, but again, you started getting into those draft picks. First rounder this upcoming year. So the Browns will have their first rounder and the Rams first rounder. And again, I'm not going to pull or root or hope for any specific injuries, but it does certainly seem like with the reigning MVP in Matthew Stafford and now the reigning defensive player of the year, to go along with what was already a really good defense, it certainly feels like the only thing that derails that show this year is injury bugs. So, again, not going to pull for it, but we'll see what happens. But you get the first rounder this year. You get a second rounder in 2028. And then my favorite pick, my very favorite one that they got, because of the little footnote, the third rounder in 2029, which becomes a first rounder if the Rams trade Myles Garrett anytime to either the Steelers, the Ravens, or the Bengals. And at that point, Myles, a couple years older, I'm all for it. Let's get Myles on the Ravens. Let's get Myles. Let's get older Myles on the Bengals, and let's make that a first round pick. Fred, to me, in my opinion, and I'm with you what you said before. I know everybody's going to try to justify it. And everybody's going to say, well, Jared Verse is a first round. He's worthy of a first round pick. Actually, most people are saying, and I agree with this, that Jared Verse, if somebody just wanted to trade for Jared Verse from the Rams, he's probably worth a first rounder and another pick, a first and a fourth, a first and a third. I agree. I think he's a first plus player. I think that's only in a vacuum of thinking about if somebody just wanted to trade for him. I think in the scope of trading away Myles Garrett, I don't think that matters. I am not happy that the Cleveland Browns walk away from this deal without two first round picks. And you could say Jared Verse is a first round pick. Fine. He's not a first round pick. He's not a guy that you can pick. He's a good player. He's not a guy that you can pick building block wise for your future. And I think Myles Garrett absolutely was worth them saying no. We want Jared Verse, and we want two first-round picks, and if that's not going to do it, fine.
Especially when they're adverse, they're kind of the old George Allen trading away their draft picks for now. They did that to get Stafford, and they won a Super Bowl. I would have, like, Verse the first round in 27, and that second round, I'd have said, no, we want another first, you know, in 28. I can't believe they wouldn't say – yes, they're getting Myles Garrett. If you're going to trade, you're going to get, if you were assured with Myles Garrett, you're going to win the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you do that? Who cares if you give up the 32nd pick in the 28th draft, you know?
Well, but, that's what's scary, right? Is again, injury bugs withstanding, or I guess Myles Garrett feeling some kind of pressure, or Matt Stafford finally showing his age, which he has not done. There's no reason to think this first round pick this year isn't going to be a very, very end of the first round type pick. And who knows what it looks like in the future, but I think at least in 2 years, if you grabbed another first round pick, you got a chance at maybe Matthew Stafford hanging it up after a Super Bowl. You got a chance, and the Rams maybe aren't quite as good moving forward from that. I just don't think it wasn't enough. To me, it wasn't enough.
Well, it's kind of the way I think that, and I guess that's the tone I think a lot of people, and that's where Andrew Berry kept coming back to. He didn't say it, but his tone or demeanor was, you guys just don't know how good Jared Verse is, you know? And I'm like, okay, everybody says he's a good player. He is a good player. We're just trying to justify, if you're going to put the screws to a team that's calling you every day, why not, like in draft day movie, just keep turning the notch. But there was some news today I can touch on, you know.
Why don't we go there?
That I thought was interesting is that, well, first off, Todd Monken said 4 of the 5 starters are set at offensive line. No big surprises. Today, Spencer Fano was at left tackle, and that was the first time since we've been out there. Monken said that he started yesterday taking reps at left tackle with the first team. So 2 days now he's been the left tackle. Today, Elton Jenkins was at center. He's going to be a starter. The only question is he going to start at center or at one of the guards? I believe it's
right guard.
Zion Johnson is a starter. He's at left guard. Titus Howard was there for the first time since the early mini camp due to family issues, and he's at right tackle. So those four are starters. He said the only one remaining is the fifth guy, and he didn't really go through names, but Parker Brailsford, the center from Alabama, they drafted in the 5th round. They're going to see if he can handle being the starting center. And if that was the case, he didn't say this, but that is, they're looking at him, and that would kick Jenkins out to guard. Obviously, they re-signed Tevin Jenkins, so he's in the mix. He didn't say any of these other names, but four are set. And then it's basically who's going to be the center and or guard. Jenkins would be – Elton Jenkins would be whatever one, depending on who the fifth guy is.
That's what my thought process is. It's pretty well known that they're comfortable. If Elton Jenkins is their center, they're comfortable with that because he's a good player. But it feels very strongly like they would prefer Elton Jenkins at the guard position at right guard. And that's what I said the night they drafted Parker Brails. I know he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's as big as some other really good centers. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but I said it. I think that kid's going to have a chance to be a starter for the Cleveland Browns this year.
Yeah, I don't know if he would start to begin the year, but Luke Whipler started doing some things today coming off that injury. So even if Whipler because he started the last six or seven games, you know, he got hurt in the last game.
Right.
Whipler, Brailsford, and then you could kick Jenkins out. Or if you feel Jenkins gives you the best shot at center, then it could be Tevin Jenkins. Or today they had Conley. I think he's a first-year player from Boston College.
Yeah.
Jack Conley. In fact, he's listed as a tackle, 6'7", 330. Yeah. So he was in there at that guard position. And so that's a little bit of news. The other thing I thought was interesting, I don't know when you heard when Deion was doing his rant that he needs to sit down with the coach, you know, and talk to him about Shadur and all that.
No,
my first thinking was good luck with that. It sounds like a parent teacher conference. Munkin was asked about that today. He goes, I can't wait to meet with Deion. He said he has to get a schedule where he's shooting a commercial. And Munkin said, I told him, tell me where you'll be and I'll go meet you. So he went on and on about like, I really want to meet with him. I respect him as a coach, and I respect what he's done with Shadur, you know, and so forth. So I thought that was a little bit of news just because I kind of rolled my eyes like you did when I heard Deion saying, I need to get out there and talk to this coach, you know. He also threw in Travis Hunter. He said, you know, I know more about Travis Hunter, and the Jacksonville never asked me to talk to him about what gets him going. I know what gets these guys, you know. So anyway, I thought that was a little interesting because I thought that would hurt Shadur more than help him. But Munkin made it sound like he was excited to meet with him.
Well,
Ward, Grant Delpit, Mason Graham, they weren't out there. He did have some information on Malik Collins. He said he's coming along well. He's back, I think, in Houston with family rehabbing. But he did say that he would be up here for the mandatory mini camp. I don't necessarily think he's going to practice. I heard that Munkin didn't say this, but somebody else told me that he was a month or so from being ready. You know, they thought he'd be ready for training camp, and Quinshon Judkins, I thought looked really good, really explosive. I mean, at this time of the year, I really didn't expect him to be out there going full go and everything, running first team with everything. He looks quick. He looks everything that you expect. So, and Shadur did have the play of the day, threw the bomb to Isaiah Bond. I had it on video on my X feed. I think I put it on the OBR as well in the story, but it was a nice throw right to him. And I think I mentioned earlier, Munkin said that they have two starting level quarterbacks, and he's very pleased with both Shadur. He didn't say by name, but everybody's, you know, it's Deshaun and Shadur again. Shadur got first team reps the majority today. I don't know still how they do it. It seems like when we're out there, he's been getting them. But when Munkin was asked about getting the starters, that's where he feels like the four of the five starters in the offensive line are pretty much set, but they really need to get the pads on to see with the other guys, and that comes back. but also with the quarterbacks. I don't know if he'll name one after the mini camp or whatever, but I thought it was a little interesting when he said a couple times, I kind of go back and forth. Now he's talking about the quarterback, almost like he's thinking, I think it'll be Deshaun. No, I think it'll be Deshaun. So it looks to me like he's really not decided who's ahead, where everybody's assuming it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to be Shadur. I mean, wouldn't you think that if they're even close that you'd go with Shadur? I would, but
yes.
I mean, we were clearly thinking that Deshaun in their mind was clearly ahead and ready to seize the opportunity. So,
yeah, I think 100%. If it's neck and neck, you go with Shadur Sanders because one guy's got a chance to really take a step forward and the other guy is a guy. Last thing, though, Fred, that I wanted to bring up, as we get through camps here and mandatory camp next week, so there'll be more to talk about. But I do want to talk about, did you see the interview, Fred, with Jim Schwartz?
I did.
I got to tell you, I did the same kind of eye roll that I just did a couple minutes ago when I saw, Jim Schwartz is talking. And I think I saw a quote that made him sound real salty and kind of negative. And then I listened to it, and I was surprised. I was a little bit surprised by Jim Schwartz's tone because I've said it. I don't have anything negative to say about Jim Schwartz, the guy or whatever. He's a really good football coach. But he has been a little tantrumy over his time as a coach. And when his feelings get big, sometimes he has trouble controlling his big feelings. And I thought he came across great in that interview. And I actually was a really good listen. And I think he came across as gracious. I think he's mad because he wanted the job, but it wasn't, I was expecting a tantrum. It wasn't a tantrum. He wished Todd Monken luck. He said he likes Todd Monken. He said he's still rooting for all the guys on the team and all the coaches that are still here and all that. And I thought it was, it took me a little off guard, the positive nature of the interview, because I was expecting a little something different from Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't say anything that wasn't true. He said we had the best defense, and usually when you perform well, you get rewarded. And when you get passed over, how could I, and that makes sense. I do think it could have worked, but I think that was almost being, maybe that's what he's thought now, maybe not at the time, but very mature to say an arranged marriage wouldn't work because, the team saying you didn't think he was good enough to be the coach, but you have me as the coach, of the defense. And so, yeah, I thought he came up pretty good, pretty mature. He has had 5-6 months to think about it. I don't know if he did that after the trade was made with Garrett or not, but it was coincidental, I thought, that I heard it, I think, last night, or that's when it came online. And, it was, I felt, and I do think it might have contributed to the Garrett thing, somewhat, that he, like I said, he never really made a point to even meet with or come by and introduce himself to Rutenberg or Monken. And so they had to answer questions. And it's like, that was unfair to them. So, I thought Jim Schwartz, it'll be interesting. He's got to take the year off and he expects to coach. I thought maybe he would move on, but I think he feels he's still got in his blood and wants to get back at it. But I mean, I don't care how much money you have, Mike. $5 million is $5 million to just say, yeah, I'm going to step down and forfeit $5 million.
Because, I wish I could do that.
Well, a lot of these players, come back for one more year because, well, how much is enough? And it's 20 some million, like Aaron Rodgers, get one more squeeze, one more big. It's crazy. But so, yeah, it's a tale of how this is going. I mean, they took, in my opinion, a big swing. And Monken's really got to, perform on that offense that they've got him a lot. They got him offensive line that he probably asked for. wide receivers. So they got everything, I think, that he is needs or asked for or had input in, yep, other than maybe the quarterback, which is obviously the biggest thing.
Well, we're going to find out. Again, it was a big week of news. Again, players out there making plays. Again, we're going to have to eventually move off of this. It's going to take a minute, but we're going to move off of this Myles Garrett thing, and we're going to press forward, and we'll see if there's any other moves that the Browns are looking at. It would be surprising if there were any other big shocker moves like that, but we'll see if there's anything else the Browns do to either change the roster or improve the roster, but we're going to find that out as time goes on. All right, that's going to do it here. 8 o'clock rolls around, so just last order of business. Number one, go hang out for an hour, go to the bathroom, grab a snack, grab yourself a couple beers, and then come right back, because at 9 o'clock, we got Garage Beers. We're going to talk more about football. Plus, we'll get into the Cleveland Guardians playing well against the New York Yankees. We'll get into Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals. Lots of stuff for us to get into on Garage Beer, so you want to be there for that. And so make sure that starts at 9 o'clock. And then we're going to do our thank yous. First thank you goes to the OBR for hosting us. Get over to theobr.com. Make sure you hit subscribe so you can read all the stuff that these guys are putting out there, and you can be a part of the OBR community, the oldest, largest independent Browns community in all of Cleveland. Again, it's theobr.com. Make sure you hit subscribe there. Wherever you're watching us now, hit follow, hit subscribe, whether it's YouTube or Twitch or X or Facebook or whatever. Get over there and get subscribed and hit the like button for us. It always helps us as well there. Our biggest and our final thank you goes out to all of you. The comments were great tonight. They were lively, so everybody that showed up here live with us tonight and got into the comments, we appreciate you. And if you didn't catch us live tonight, but you're listening to us on the OBR podcast version or you're watching us later, we appreciate you, we love you, and we thank you for the support. That'll do it for us here on Inside the Browns Beat. He is Fred Greatham. I am Michael Keefe. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, though, as always, go Browns.
Same.